Matthew 28, the Bible says this in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Heavenly Father, help me now as I speak. Give me the strength I need. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. See, I told you, it's going to be quick, but let me give you some information at the beginning before I get into my message. It might be stunning to you. Martin Luther said this, I'm afraid that schools will provide to be the great gates of hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures, engraving them in the hearts of youth. I advise no one to place his child where the Scriptures do not reign paramount. Every institution in which men are not increasingly occupied with the Word of God must become corrupt. Now, this is important because that was back in the 1600s or 1500s. Listen to this in 1892. And the only reason why I'm reading this, it's from Kansas and I'm from Missouri. If it was from Missouri, I wouldn't read it at all. American education was, according to the Teachers Union in Kansas in 1892, nurtured in the lap of the church. If the study of the Bible is to be excluded from all state schools, if the inculcation of the principles of Christianity is to have no place in the daily program, if the worship of God is to form no part of the general exercise of these public elementary schools, then the good of the state would be better serving by restoring all schools to church control. See, that's a good thing. The reason, Aldous Huxley said this, the reason we accepted Darwinism, even without proof, is because we didn't want God to interfere with our sexual mores. Interesting. 12 of the most popular science textbooks used in middle schools nationwide are riddled with errors. Researchers have compiled 500 pages of errors, including maps depicting the equator passing through the southern states, southern part of the United States. None of the books have an acceptable level of accuracy, said John Hulbitz of University of North Carolina psychic professor. He stated they get people to check for political correctness. They try to get in as much cultural diversity as possible. They just don't seem to understand what science is all about. Between non-education and misinformation, there is not much hope for the young people of our day. I don't believe it can be turned around, but Christian schools can at least give young people God's truth and tools they need. C.M. Prince, doctor of Harvard University, boy, that's a messed up university, isn't it? Speaking to 1,000 teachers during the 1972 Childhood Education International Association seminar, said this. Every child, now this is in 1973, think about this, that's a long time ago, that's 50 years ago. Every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is insane. Because he or she comes to school with certain allegiances towards our elected officials, toward his parents, toward a belief in a supernatural being, toward the sovereignty of this nation as a separate entity. It's up to you as teachers, to make all these sick children well by creating the international children of the future. I think they have succeeded. J. Brooke Chisholm, a Canadian psychiatrist and a co-founder of the World Federation for Mental Health, said in 1945, to achieve a one-world government, It is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individuality, loyalty to family, traditions, national patriotism, and religious dogmas. In 1986, a survey published by the American Journal of Psychiatry found that 95% of all psychologists graduating are atheist or agnostic. You think they succeeded? We're fighting an upward battle, folks. Much as I value all good societies, Charles Spurgeon said, this is 1800. I cannot hesitate to declare that the church is the ordained agent and that all besides is human and derives authority only from man. Hence, I say of a society for the conversion of the heathen, it is man-constituted body and not of God. The Lord will work not by committees, but by his churches. The churches must do her own work. And when all our churches are thoroughly aroused by this fact, and every congregation shall send out its own men, pray for their own men, support their own men, we shall see greater things than we've ever dreamed. Amen? Graduate, to graduate, a reason, a purpose, an effort put forth to accomplish a desired end. The why we have a Sunday school class, church service, a school, and an institute. Why do we spend such time, talent, and treasure providing for the next generation? I'd like to give you four quick things. And look here, if you would, please. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Verse 20, teaching them. So the first thing is education. Education is not bad. I go to fellowship meetings and I talk down colleges and talk up institute. And they say, you're against education. That don't even make sense. Why do you have to go to college to learn? You don't have to go to college to learn something. So people are messed up, and no, you don't have to go. You can actually learn at home. You can learn on the job. That you don't. And I had someone say, "Well, it's for that piece of paper." Well, today they get that piece of paper just for having a class on feminism, diversity. Amen? Oh, me? It's some of the weirdest things. I remember going through school and asking one of my friends, what classes did you have today? I had art. I had home ec. I had choir. I'm thinking, my lands, where are you learning? I guess home ec, but it was a guy. I guess he's planning on staying single the rest of his life. I didn't want home ec because I wasn't planning on cooking the rest of my life. Amen? I have a wife. Now, I do cook. We're having guests over tomorrow. My wife said, do you want a grill? I said, no, it's not that special. Well, scholastics, you want to teach study to show thyself approved unto God. We want to give them scholastics, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic. And anybody getting upset because we call it the three R's? Well, we're from the South. That's how we talk. Reading, writing, arithmetic. They all have an R in them. You know, only one of them starts with R, but we have all of them have an R. But if they don't, the kids don't know how to read. The reading comprehension that we get from kids coming from public schools is ridiculous. I mean, they ought to understand what they're reading. You say, why? Because there's a lot of deception out there. And the Bible says it's going to get worse. And it is getting worse, isn't it? I mean, come on, can you find truth on TV or on that online? Can you find truth? No, this is the only thing I know that I can go to that I know is 100% truth. Amen. I have to worry about the rest. But scholastics, number two, social. How to survive in life. The Bible talks about that in the book of James. You're going to go through problems. You're going to have difficulties. You've got to learn how to overcome them. We tell our students, Everybody's gifted at something. We have kids. How many of you can raise your hand and say, I love math? I knew it wouldn't be too many. How many say, you know, my best subject, my favorite subject is English? Oh, we got about the same amount here. How many recess? Lunch? Whatever. All I'm saying is this, is everybody's gifted in some things. Now, that's not the trial. You know what the trial is? You know how to survive in life? You things you're not good at, you still put your heart into it. That's the thing we're teaching in our school. That's the education. That's the scholastic, the social things we need. Get in there and do just as good on the things you're not good at as the things you're good at. And that's tough. The things you don't want to do. You know, there's some jobs you don't want to do. I have found out since I had gotten out of working full-time construction and going in full-time pastor, and I'm just doing small jobs for people or for the church, there's a lot of times I'm working by myself. You know, there was a time that I could go laborer, or in our term, we called them gophers. You know, go for this and go for that. And I could go, hey, go get this. Well, who's the gopher now? I am. It's really bad when you're up on that roof over there 27 feet in the air and you got to go for something. I tell you, when you drop a tool, you wish you had a spare. And so it's tough. So how to survive? Not only that, scriptural. What I have told you, it's to educate them in scriptures. We want to give the children in the class appreciation for God's word. You know what the kids don't have anymore? Gratefulness. They don't have gratefulness. We have been taught in school. I just read it with these quotes. The teachers' union wanted to get patriotism out. How they do that? They tell the kids that the Americans were slave owners and capitalists. All they did is make people work for them so they could make money. Well, listen, let me just throw you out. If Sam Walton did not start Walmart, thousands of people wouldn't have had a job. It takes a billionaire or a billionaire to start a business because us poor people can't. And I don't know about you, but when I work a hard 8-hour day, I don't want some of my pay being taken to pay someone that's sitting down playing video games that's just in good as physical shape as I am to get out and work. I don't agree with that kind of society. And if you want to have that kind of society, you go over to Europe or Russia or places like that. Don't stay here. America was built on you work, you had the freedom to work, and you got the freedom to get the pay that you can get. And you could earn as much money as you want to. Amen? But we're getting away from that. So they don't have appreciation for our country, but they don't have appreciation for the Word of God. So we try to teach them a Bible history. Show them where the Bible came from. I don't know if you realize this. Did you know 50 million Christians died over one doctrine? Baptism. They got murdered because they re-baptized people and they would not baptize babies. And they were murdered for that. 50 million, and we complain about something about a few people getting killed. Isn't that sad? Now look at the next thing here. He says, go ye. Now here's the interesting thing, and that is the environment. So I hear this all the time. I don't want my kids put into a private school or be homeschooled because I'm afraid they'll lose their social abilities. Have you met our church kids? They ain't a one of them shy. Of course, they have a little crazy of a pastor, but they don't. There's no shyness involved there. They are okay, and they can talk to anybody, including adults, very well. They're not stuck like this all day long. They may do it outside of school, but they don't do it during school. I got to get back behind here. Let me put this thing on so I can move, because I might want to move some more, Zach. So I'll put this thing on. So we want them to have the right environment. So what do? First of all, we want them to have fellowship. The Bible talks in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that we're a body. And a body apart is not good. A body apart is not good. I encourage, we have one of our graduates tonight is a homeschool kid. I encourage all the homeschool parents, if you're in this church or other churches, to really think about getting your kids into the Christian school. Number one, you're supporting that, but number two, you're using your talents and abilities. I had a preacher I met him a long time ago, but he was at this last fellowship, and he says, my wife's a great teacher. She's the best in the world. And I thought, well, who's she teaching? His three children. He said, you know there's more than three children in your church. If she's a great teacher, she ought to be teaching more. What happens when those third one graduates? That great teacher sitting at home doing nothing. You know, and so it's good to get involved. Get involved with that. Get involved. Fellowship. It's nice to fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ instead of going place. Folks, let's think about this. Do you know what's going on in public schools? I remember my son Brad, when he got out of school, but then he went back for basketball. He told me all the posters are up talking about, you know, not being hateful for lesbians and homosexuals. I'm not hateful. Why is it okay to tell a murderer they're wrong, but it's not okay to tell a homosexual lesbian they're wrong? Why is it okay to tell a pedophile, of course, today that's not wrong anymore, is it? Oh, me? A thief is wrong, but not a homosexual lesbian. It's all sin. A liar's a sin. I tell liars they're wrong too. Amen? Sin is sin. It doesn't matter what title you put on it. It's still sin. All of it's wrong, and all of them are loved by God. As we always say, love the sinner and hate the sin. That's the way we should do it. But there's fellowship. They get to hang around kids with that are being supportive to them. Faith. Bible calls it the household of faith. You're going to a school where everybody believes about the same. There's very little difference. I mean, very little. And so that's a real blessing. Family. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. The household of Stephanas was addicted to the ministry. Guess who's your teachers? Maybe that's why they want to go to the public school, is they don't want mama involved with it. Because I remember PTA meetings. You remember PTA meetings? Had them all the time. You remember when your child got in trouble once, you got a phone call? Not anymore. Not anymore. I remember going in after this is the reason why we started the Christian school. I thought, I want my kids to go to public school, be a witness, to stand fast, stand firm. I tried that for a few years when I got up here. My boy Chris, was he third grade, Britta? Fourth. I get a call from the teacher. I go in there, and the teacher said, well, he got an I. Now, I come from the old school. You had ESMFI. IF. So you had excellent, satisfactory, mediocre, inferior, and then the F was failure. That was the grade you had, A, B, C, D. That's college. But in school, you had the E, excellent, and it went down. So anyway, he had on their I. And I said, well, at least he's passing. She goes, no, that means incomplete. I said, well, hold on a second. This is a test. Now, in my day, you took a test, you got one grade. You didn't take a week to finish it. You went in, took the test, and that was your grade. Am I right? Am I speaking to the same crowd? Am I right? But no, not today. They didn't give them all year to finish it. I looked at her, I says, what? And she goes, well, he just doesn't seem to be motivated to do his work. Well, I said, well, then call me up and I'll smack him upside the head. He'll be rolling. And she goes, no, I can't do this. I don't have the time to spend with him because I have other students. I said, do the other students do the work and don't need your help? Yes, then spend time with him. That's what I would do. Amen. If I had a student behind, I'd put a little more effort. That's how it used to be. It's called teaching. But not anymore. And so listen, you'll have family around you, have family and friends around you, and that's what we should want. Number three, if you would go to Proverbs, if you would please. Proverbs chapter 22, and I'm going to use this. I don't really like using Old Testament for New Testament times too much, but I do want to show this verse because it goes along with what he says
And I just want to show you. Verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Can I throw something out? Can I throw a question out? You don't have to answer it out loud, but I want you to answer it in your heart. Does it say family or church there? Neither one does it. What it's teaching is, whenever you're training a child, train them in the way that they should go. And it could be a church, it could be a family, it could be an individual, whatever. So back to our text, he says, go ye into, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I. That shows that the Lord's saying, I want you to train them. I. Train them. We should train them. Because we should be personable. The personal touch. There's a person there, not AI. Not a video screen. Not a sending it online. I had a pastor, and I asked him if he's got an institute. He goes, yes. I said, what? And he goes, such and such. I said, that's an online thing. He goes, yeah, you're having some other preacher teach you. It's personal. It's more personal when the pastor's teaching. It's more personal when the parents and the teachers are teaching. It's a personal teaching. The Bible says the aged women teach the younger women. The older men teach the younger men. It's a personal thing. And I don't know about you, teaching in a personal atmosphere is a lot better than an education board that's just trying to get the numbers pushed through. They don't care if you graduate at all. Just push you through. They don't care if you get the work done. Push you through. Because they get money for every time you push through. Something billion dollars. I think it was 600. I want to say 600. I may be way off. But it was in the billions of dollars a year is the budget for the school system in America. That's insane. That's insane. The practical. We teach them practical things. In our school, in our institute, we teach them practical. Let me just throw you a practical thing here. You turn in an assignment and it's not finished. You know what our teachers do? Hand it back to you. You know what I do when a man turns in an assignment and it's not done? I hand it back to him. Finish that. Well, I got a good enough for a passing grade. The passing grade is finishing it. What's on the top of the page means nothing. The practical part is when you got a job to do, you finish it. That's what we teach in ours. Not in the public schools. They don't care if you finish or not. That's sad. And I tell our students, we care enough for you to want you to finish it. With the profitable things, the experience that we have. Now, I've said this story many times, but I'm going to say it again because it's good for this time. I am going to be this month 65 years of age. Is there anybody here 65 or older? Could you slip a hand up? Now, I know you have to admit it. Come on, Lynn. She goes, I would if I wasn't so old. Okay, so those people with their hands up, they know where I'm talking about. A person 40 is not 65. So at 40 years of age, you have no idea where 50 feels like. Or you don't know what the society treats a 50-year-old. Or what's involved as a 50-year-old. So I was talking to one of my sons, and he goes, well, Dad, you just don't understand. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't know I wasn't a teenager. I didn't know I just was born at 40 years of age. I was 40 at the time, and he was 13. I said, I apologize. Tell me all about it. Do you realize us old folks have a few things we know? Just a couple. And so when you're with a student, students, do not say this ever when a teacher starts to explain something to you. I know. Well, if you did, why'd you get it wrong? If you did, how come it's not done right? You follow me? So we have to do, we're showing what's profitable in their life. Lastly, if you would please, go with me to the book of 1 John. Way back in the back of your Bible. I'm almost done. See, I'm doing good. I'm going to get you out early. You're going to clap and it's going to be a great day. I don't think so. But anyways, listen to this. I hope you can hear this. Behold, verse 1. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now the word sons there mean children. In the Greek it means children. The sons of God. The children of God. You know what our school tries to provide? Is some edification. You are a child of God. You're not a child of a monkey. You're not a child of the community. You're a child of God. And that ought to make you... Amen? The Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Not born of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of the blood. It's of God. It's not even of blood. It's not who you, what family. It's of God. Let's remember, we try to teach, lo, I am with you all. Why is the Lord with you always? We teach our kids, and I teach the men in the institute. You're a child of God. You're not the child of the devil. You can make good decisions. Number two, Ephesians chapter 1 says you're chosen by God. Accepted in the beloved. You know, we try to teach our kids, you don't need to be bashful. You don't need to do stupid things for your peers. God accepts you how you are. Oh, he wants us to get to higher ground, and we'll go into that here in a little bit. He wants you to improve. But he accepts you as you are. We're called of God. We are created in his workmanship, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Called of God. We need to understand it. We try to teach that to our students. So what does it mean? What are we after? What, when we use the word graduate, when we think, that's what we want. We want people to graduate. Why do we do this? Well, let me just go to the 1828 Webster's. And listen to what it says. Graduate. To mark with degrees. To improve. To advance. To prepare. And I love this one. To raise to a higher place. What is our goal? To raise you to a higher place. So you may be prepared to go out into the world to do what? To preach the gospel to every creature. Amen? This is our desire. We hope these go into up to a higher class, whether it is a kindergartner to first grade or a senior to higher learning, or men and women into the ministry, or just into the regular marketplace. We hope to raise you up, lift you up to higher than you are now.